Good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Saturday. That means it's time for our IQ series, Inspirational Quotes. Today we are featuring Siddhartha Gautama, the original Buddha. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. Hey there, listener. I hope the content on this podcast helps you in your spiritual practice and that it provides inspiration and motivation for you today. You know, I make next to nothing on this podcast, financially speaking, although there are other rewards that I receive and find extremely valuable. If you're able and willing, consider offering a small monetary donation every month. You can do as little as $1 per month or as much as $10 per month. This would be much appreciated and very supportive. I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen. If you are interested in becoming a supporter, just look for a link in the description of the podcast. You'll find it there. Click that link and sign up to become a supporter today. Thanks again. All right, everyone, the IQ series. If you are new here, every Saturday I do this series and I bring to you three quotes by an individual who I feel has been a powerful and profound teacher for basically all human beings in this planet, helping them to just achieve greater levels of peace, happiness, and manifest basically, like I always say in the intro, the life of their dreams. And today we are featuring Siddhartha Gautama, the original Buddha. Can't get more influential than that. There are other teachers that definitely had just as much of an impact as Siddhartha Gautama, but this is definitely one of the top ones. And as many of you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a little while, you know that I do practice Zen Buddhism. So this one is, this individual really inspires me. And it's just, you know, very near and dear to my heart. And I wanted to share three quotes. Now, something I want to just put out there about quotes I found by Siddhartha Gautama. Remember, he lived, 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And I always read quotes with a tiny bit of skepticism, just because someone who lived that long ago, I mean, how do we know that the person really said these exact words? Now, it is true, at least I have read, that upon his passing, many of his students wrote down word for word things that he had said. And supposedly, these are the things that can't get to us, you know, here 2,000 years later. But I always just kind of want to throw that out there because I think it's important to, when you read things, it's important always to know what you are reading. But either way, I just find that these quotes are very insightful, very profound. And I wanted to bring them to you because I just think that they connect amazingly well to a lot of the things that I enjoy talking to you all about. So let me go ahead and start to read these and we'll discuss a little more as we get into each one. So here's the first one. We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves. That's the end of that one. This is just, I mean, think about this. Okay, now let me just back up here for 1 second. Let's remember that we're talking about an individual who lived, again, over 2,000 years ago. And here he is basically talking to us through this quote as many of the real modern, like cutting edge, New Age or spirituality teachers, you know, using the same language basically and coming to the exact same conclusions over 2,000 years later. And very interesting, in case, again, you're newer here, It's an amazing thing, extremely profound, when you realize, if you really look into how Siddhartha Gautama talked about his awakening and how he described his perception of reality, it is remarkable to see that a lot of the things that he spoke of are things that are now being confirmed by, you know, quantum physicists. So he talked all the time about the nature of reality, about the tiniest bits of quantum information. He talked about how everything is basically emptiness. There's going to be a quote related to that in just a little bit. And he also discussed the millions upon millions upon billions of planet systems in the universe. Now, you could imagine somebody back then talking about this stuff, you know, probably listened to him and thought he was crazy. But like I said, he discovered all of these things simply through meditation, okay? No instruments. Obviously, no one was teaching about these things back then. So he literally, and there's a very interesting quote in the Tao Te Ching, which you'd all know, I do the Tuesday Taoism series. Another very profound teaching. And in that book, there's a quote that I really love, not to digress here into another person, but it's related, where he's going through some very profound truths. And then at the very end of the short chapter, he says, "How do I know these things?" And he ends it with, "Because I look inside myself and see." And this just points back to something that maybe you have heard many times throughout your life. I have heard many times, is that all the answers are always found within. And it's so important that when you are on the spiritual path and you are seeking to become a happier person, become more enlightened, become more aware of the true nature of your reality, it's good to listen to other teachers' points of view, but it's also very important, and Zen Buddhism talks a lot about this, you have to experience it for yourself. You can't rely on someone else's teaching or someone else's experience. So I just find it incredible that somebody, you know, sitting in meditation arrived to a point where the mind was so concentrated and so awakened, so pure, that the person was able to realize things that only now we're starting to, like I said, confirm through modern science. So here, you know, he says we are shaped by our thoughts. I mean, how often have you heard that? That's kind of like the basis, by the way, of a lot of cognitive theory in psychotherapy, when we use, you know, changing thoughts to change how we feel, to change how we behave. And we talk about this in Law of Attraction, right? It's that what you think becomes what you experience. And here he is saying it. We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. Here's a key thing, though. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves. Think about how much this is related to when we talk about how manifestation has to start within the self. That if you want to experience love, you have to cultivate self-love. If you want to experience financial abundance, you have to cultivate abundance from within, right? It's all the same stuff. So, and I love when he says, you know, that when the mind is pure, then joy follows like a shadow. It basically means that at that point, which I've talked so much about here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel, when you reach that point when you are pure joy inside, you hardly need any Law of Attraction techniques. You really don't need to manifest much focus on any specific thing. It's almost as if every moment you are automatically manifesting the best things. And I believe this quote captures that idea very, very clearly. So let me read quote number two. And this one I find to be extremely profound. And you really, at least let me speak for myself, I really had to read it a few times to understand exactly what it was saying. So let me read it to you and see how it strikes you. It says here, "The foot feels the foot when it feels the ground." Let me read that one more time. "The foot feels the foot when it feels the ground." What? Now, this is such a simple statement, and it points to a very profound truth. And something I've talked about here, and it's absolutely true, is that everything that you are experiencing, you are only experiencing it through your five senses. So if I could connect this to something much more modern, but is almost basing on the same theory, it's very similar to Neville Goddard's statement that everyone is you pushed out. It means that the external reality is only a product of your mind, of your perception. I have heard some Buddhist teachers talk about how Siddhartha Gautama basically viewed our external reality as mind, that they were not separate at all, meaning that everything in your external reality is simply a projection coming out of your own mind. So literally, when you look at the sky, you are looking at your own mind. When you are looking at another person, you are looking at your own mind. When you are perceiving sound, you are hearing it through your own ear, meaning it's your ear making it, your own mind's perception creating that sound. And this is where you get those kind of real cliche Zen koans. That's like those questions that are supposed to kind of trip up the mind, like if a tree falls in the wood, does it make a sound? If nobody's around, does it make a sound? Those kinds of things, which are just pointing to a truth, which is that sound, sights, feelings on the skin, taste, smells, they only exist if you are present. If you are not there, then they do not exist for you, meaning that we live in 100% subjective reality. And we don't really know what is objectively real. The only thing that makes things seem more real is multiple people agreeing that it is real. That's basically the only thing we have. And then we create these instruments, which is really funny. We create these instruments, which are still coming out of our subjective perception. And we use these instruments to confirm or deny certain, quote unquote, scientific observations. But ultimately, these observations are being seen through our own subjectivity. So when he says here, when the foot feels the ground, it's actually feeling the foot. It's very true. Think about it. Any sensation that you're feeling by touching the ground, you're not really feeling the ground. You're feeling sensations coming from your foot. There's no ground, so to speak. And again, this is a very interesting way of flipping perception on its head. And what I like about this, I'm not saying you have to 100% believe in this whole flipping around of your sensory perception, but what I do like about kind of thinking about this at times is that it reminds me that the reality, quote unquote, out there is very much a product in large part of my perception. And that really makes me feel more empowered, because that tells me that if I change myself, if I change my thoughts, if I change the way I feel, if I change my perception, I change my reality. And that is a very, very profound observation and something that's very, very helpful, I think, especially if you're coming from a law of attraction perspective. Now, I have one more longer quote to read to you. But I do want to pause here for a quick second for a word from a sponsor. I'll be right back. All right, you all, I'm back now. Thank you for your patience, by the way. I want to read you one more quote. And this, the reason I chose this last one is because this one is coming directly from a very famous sutra, something I've alluded to in a few podcast episodes here and on the YouTube channel. And the reason I feel this is important is because the sutra, we can be more assured that this did actually come directly from Siddhartha Gautama, because he wrote these sutras, and these have been obviously translated many times over the years. But this one is considered to be one of the classics of Zen, and it points to similar things, but I think it's more directly in his words. So I want to read this to you here. He is talking to a student named Shariputra. And this is the lines is a little bit longer, but not too long. Let me just get into this. So he says here, Shariputra, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. That which is form is emptiness. That which is emptiness, form. The same is true of feelings, perceptions, impulses, and consciousness. Shariputra, all dharmas are marked with emptiness. They do not appear or disappear, are not tainted or pure, do not increase or decrease. Therefore, in emptiness, there's no form, no feelings, perceptions, impulses, or consciousness. There are no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no color, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no object of mind, no realm of eyes, and so forth, until no realm of mind consciousness. That's the end right there. Now, what is so important about that, and why do I feel it's such an important little piece of this sutra to share? Because he says here something that I've discussed a few times before, here, I believe, on the podcast, is that, again, we're looking at quantum physics now proving to us, showing us that matter is mostly empty space. It's basically energy or molecules vibrating at a certain frequency, and it's our senses interacting with that vibrational frequency that is giving us the experience of an object or an event or a sound or a sight. So here, again, over 2,000 years ago, he's saying that form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Now, what I really think is very profound, however, is when he says the same is true of feelings, perceptions, impulses, and consciousness. Now, what is so profound about this is, as I have said before, our senses actually block more of reality than it actually allows us to experience. So the one that I really enjoy sharing, because it's so crazy when I first read it, is the eyes, for example. The eyes only see, I think, 0.0035 or 0.0053, I don't remember which of the two. It only sees that percent of the electromagnetic spectrum. Basically, we see our eyes block out over 99% of our reality. We only see a tiny sliver of it. Same is true when you think about hearing. We only hear certain ranges of sound. So our senses actually block out much more reality than our senses let in. And it is our senses through which we experience our quote-unquote reality, and our consciousness is very much connected to what our senses report. So when he says here, the same is true of feelings, perceptions, impulses, and consciousness. Now, with that line where he says all dharmas are marked with emptiness, our dharmas is dharmas is a word for basically all things, all manifestations. All dharmas are marked with emptiness. They do not appear or disappear. They're not tainted or pure. He's talking here about our judgments, right? Oh, this is bad. This is good. This is tainted. This is pure. I like this. I don't like that. All those things are just phantoms. They're all illusion. They do not increase or decrease. Therefore, in emptiness, there's no form, there's no feelings, no perceptions, impulses, and consciousness. And then he goes on to talk about each of the senses. And what I believe I'm hearing here is that if you want to perceive true reality, you cannot count on your senses. He says, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no color, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no object of mind, meaning mental concepts, mental objects are never going to give you true reality. That, using more law of attraction terms, comes from source, and source can be felt from within, but you cannot perceive it with the five senses. You can't point to anything and say, oh, there's source. That's source, right? All we see is the external manifestations. But what he's saying here, and which I think is so profound, is that the external manifestation isn't even real. It's only a byproduct of our senses, which is seeing only a tiny sliver of true source. So it's almost as if source is expressing itself using, for example, like the Big Bang concept, it's expressing itself outward. But our five senses and our consciousness can only see tiny pieces of it because it's too much for our brains. So we see tiny slivers of it, and we accept that as our reality. And the more we are convinced that that is our reality and that it cannot be changed, the less things like manifesting, changing your reality, using law of attraction techniques, the harder those things are going to become. because we are accepting what our senses tell us as absolutely real. And this is why it is said, I don't know this for sure, that Siddhartha Gautama was an extreme empiricist. He said that if you're looking in one direction, the only thing that is that you really can accept as real at that moment is your awareness of what your five senses are reporting at that second. Everything that's behind you is an illusion. It's not real because you're not seeing it right now. You don't even know if it's there. And if you turn around and look, then you create that through your perception, your consciousness, and your decisions, your value judgments about what you are seeing. This is very much connected to, by the way, the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Good one to check out if you haven't watched that. But again, just amazing quotes, amazing food for thought. And I think having this kind of knowledge, and not just having the knowledge, but really implementing it into your life in a way that impacts the way you are perceiving your moment-to-moment experience is going to open up a whole new world to you. And it's going to make manifesting your desires and creating the life of your dreams much more accessible. I hope you found this information helpful. I really want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll be doing our Zen stream on Sundays. And be sure to go on to the YouTube channel, search for Dreams Warp over there. You can check out the YouTube channel. And if you ever have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to drop it under any one of my videos. I'm very quick to respond. You'll hear back from me within a day or two. You'll also find links down there to my Instagram, my Twitter, where I do post 1-minute motivational videos a couple times a week. And you'll find a link in case you want to book some one-on-one time with me. All right, again, I want to thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you in tomorrow's episode.